Hello, I am Gabriel. Welcome to this Sunday's worship stream here at Grace Communion Richardson. Here at Grace Communion Richardson, we are a diverse community that seek to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, and through neighborhood or community engagements. And we do so all out of the compelling love of God expressed in our Savior, Jesus Christ. You are welcome to this stream, and please feel free to send us any prayer requests that you may have. The address to do so is on your screen, and we will follow up with your prayer requests and pray with you and for you. We know that there are a lot of things going on in this world, and prayer is one of the ways that God has given us as a gift to reach out to Him and to support one another as well. So please feel free to send us your prayer requests. And also, if you have any comments, don't be hesitant in sharing that with us as well. We are in the process, friends, of planning to go back to in-person worship, and we are hoping to do so in a safe manner while at the same time remaining online in sharing the good news of hope that God gives to us. As soon as we are ready, we will share more information with you, including the date for going back to a safe in-person worship while remaining online as well. As you may already know or have noticed, Grace Communion Richardson is ethnically diverse, and we are diverse in other ways as well. We value the unity in diversity as a gift from God, and we seek to promote that, and we seek to live together as brothers and sisters in Christ with a shared identity in Him and with a shared humanity, in the sense that we are all made in the image and likeness of God. Beginning next Sunday, I hope to share more about who we are as a church congregation, as Grace Communion Richardson, our values, our vision, our mission, our hopes for the future that flows from our identity in Jesus Christ. And I hope that you will be with us as we do so. I believe that it will be a blessing for all of us. Now let's join our praise worship for a song, and then we will have a prayer from Jackie, scripture reading from Brenda, and then I will come back with a word of thanks for your financial generosity to our gospel effort, and then we'll get into the main message for today. Please stay with us.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today. Therefore, since we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe.
Now revealed. You didn't want to happen without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What can separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name.
Please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, Almighty Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, giver and sustainer of life, holy, just, and pure, we worship you and praise you and thank you. We thank you for this day that you have made, and we thank you for the blessing of coming before you in worship. Though we're doing so through electronic means, we are joining together in worship and lifting up the name of the living Jesus Christ. We thank you that you've called us. We thank you that you've opened our minds to know you and to grow in grace and knowledge. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We can't thank you enough. We just praise your holy name. Bless the service today. Bless the service today and bless those that are leading worship. Bless the sermon. Be with Pastor Gabriel. Bring us your message, your understanding. Open our hearts and minds to know you better and to know you more and to draw closer to you. We praise you because you are awesome, merciful creator and giver of life. You've given us life and the hope of life eternal, and we praise you for it. We thank you that we can know you, that we can come to a relationship with the living Jesus Christ. Thank you. We thank you and honor you and praise you always. We know that you'll never leave us, that you'll never forsake us, and we praise you for that. We thank you. We ask your blessing then on the message today. We ask your blessing on the singing and those that are raising their voices in praise and leading worship. And we ask that all who tune in that hear this broadcast will be lifted up and encouraged and draw closer to you. We ask these things in the name of our brother, our dearest friend, the living Jesus Christ. Amen.
Romans 11, 1 through 2a, and 29 to 32. I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham, from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people, whom he foreknew. For God's gift, his call, are irrevocable, just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy. As a result of their disobedience, so that they too have now become disobedient, in order that they too may receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience, so that he may have mercy on them all.
I want to thank Jackie and Brenda for the prayer and scripture reading. And I also, at this stage, want to thank other brothers and sisters of Grace Communion Richardson, as well as our supporters and those who share our value out there for your generous financial support in supporting the gospel work of this congregation, of this church. If you want to join in supporting financially our gospel effort, you can see on the screen a number of ways that you can do so. We are grateful to you. Your financial support are tax deductible, and we thank you. Welcome to today's message. To the question, does God reject you? The answer to that question is simple. It is no, never. God accepts and implores us to accept his grace and love that is made available to us in Jesus Christ. He does not reject us. When we mouth off, when we flame out, when we mess up big time, when we curse him or doubt him, or even repeatedly hurt ourselves and those around us. Rather, God relentlessly pursues us with his love, because he is love and loves us. Let me say that again. God relentlessly pursues us with his love, because God is love and he loves us. So he pursues us out of his nature of love. He responds to us out of who he is, not out of what we think we are or who we think we are. God exercises the initiative out of his nature and pursues us out of that same nature of love. Now, it is important to say this as well, and it is a question. Does our mouthing off That's our flaming out, making a big mess, cursing him, doubting him, hurting ourselves and those around us have consequences? And again, the simple answer to that is yes, absolutely. It has consequences. And the consequences, more often than not, is not just to us, but also has an impact on those around us. However, these consequences do not overcome the nature of love that God is and the salvation out of love that He gives to us as a free gift in Christ Jesus. And so God's nature of love is continuously a desire for our good and well-being. God's nature of love is continuously a desire for your good and mine, and for your well-being and my well-being. God offers us the free gift of salvation or eternal life in Jesus Christ. We have the free agency, the freedom of choice to choose to accept that free gift of Jesus, of life, or not. We have that. God's given us that gift of choice to choose whether we accept the life that He gives to us in Jesus Christ or to reject Jesus and the life that He gives to us. So God's gift is without regret. God does not give us this gift in Jesus with any regrets. He wholeheartedly gives us this gift. He doesn't give it to us grudgingly. God is a cheerful giver of the gift of life in His Son, Jesus. And that gift is irrevocable. He does not give it with the idea of regretting it and taking it back. He does not give it with regret or with misgiving that it is not worth it or that we are not worth it. No, He gives it wholeheartedly and He makes us worthy of it in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's an amazing truth for us to understand, accept, and allow to motivate how we see our relationship with God, and as a result of that, our relationship with one another. Because the same way God views us is the same way He views the other person next to you, behind you, in front of you. It's the same nature of love that God has towards them. So the question now is, once we accept Jesus, can we later turn around and reject it or unaccept what we had earlier accepted, the life that is in Jesus Christ? That's really what the controversy seems to be about a lot of times. And in my mind, that should really not be an issue, because what is important is what God has said and what God is doing. However, I must also be clear in saying that what God has said and what God is doing does not obliterate our freedom of choice. He gives us that freedom of choice and He tells us, choose life, choose Jesus, accept what I have given you freely. On my part, there is no going back, and in fact, I have done everything that is necessary so that you will have life eternal in a relationship of love through my Son, Jesus. But you still have the freedom to choose whether to accept it or not. The Bible says it's more likely for one to reject God's offer of Jesus and life at the first, rather than to accept it and then later unaccept it. or to later reject it. The preponderance of God's posture, as we read in Scripture, is that it is nigh impossible because of the compelling nature of the love of God expressed in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So those who seem to reject Jesus later in life, for example, in Hebrews 6, that's a famous scripture people turn to say, wait, look, this seems to suggest that you can accept Jesus and later change your mind. Well, really, what it is saying is that, and that's what other scriptures say, including Jesus' own words, which I will turn to in a, you know, briefly, refer to. I'm not going to read it because of lack of time, but you can read that scripture when I mention it on your own. The preponderance of the scripture seems to suggest that if that happens, usually they don't say when, they say if that happens, then it really means that one had not really accepted Jesus in the first place. One had not really accepted Jesus to begin with. We are told this by John in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 19. I'm not going to turn to read that because I'm going to turn to Romans first, using the Jews as a backdrop as Paul discusses this truth that God does not reject us. But in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 19, John the apostle makes this claim that those who leave the Christian faith have left because they never were really with the Christian faith to begin with. In other words, the idea of being able to depart from the faith is in itself, according to John, an indication that you were not a person of faith to begin with. And Jesus says something similar in Matthew chapter 7, on verses 21 to 23, when he says, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' to me is really of me." And he goes on to say that he is going to tell some who said, "Lord, Lord," that, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So in other words, there was no relationship to begin with, even though it appears on the surface that there was a relationship because they were calling him Lord and Lord. And that is in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 to 23. So for his part, God's promises are sure and he is faithful. God's compelling love does not obliterate freedom of choice. However, the choice is to accept or reject. And God says, "I do not reject. I do not push away. I want to welcome you. I want to embrace you. I want to include you. And I've made all of that available in my Son, Jesus." Anyone who has and accepts Jesus has life. And it is this relationship in Jesus that is moderated by the Spirit that God makes available to us as his children, as his relational children. And it is an amazing gift that God gives. And there's nothing, brothers and sisters, that we can do to earn that. There is nothing that we can do to be worthy of that. It is all him in Jesus Christ. So let's look at what Paul's statements are regarding the Jewish people and whether God has rejected them. In Romans chapter 11, and as we look at this, hopefully we learn and we are educated some more about God's posture towards us. A posture that does not reject, but a posture that seeks, pursues, embraces, includes, invites. in Romans chapter 11, verse 1. Romans, the 11th chapter, in verse 1, he says, I ask then, Paul, the apostle writing, did God reject his people? And he answers his own question, by no means. Now, that's an emphatic response, and that's why I say never. Let me read the rest of that verse in verse 2, and then I will say a few things about this. So he says, I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin, verse 2. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Right? God did not reject his people. And he says something interesting there. Whom he foreknew. And Paul uses the same language in Romans 8. When he tells us the process of the destiny that God has given for us in Jesus Christ, you know. And so God foreknew Israel and God foreknew all of humanity. In the sense that God, before we came into the world, had determined a destiny that he wanted to share with us. And that process works out in Jesus. So Paul's response to, does God reject Israel, was by no means. Now that by no means is severally translated as God forbid, or certainly not, or of course not, or absolutely not. Now you get the picture. It's an emphatic no. And for me, it is a never. God does not. And that, brothers and sisters, is true for Israel, and it is true for you, and it is true for me. It is true for us as well. God does not reject us. Let's jump down to verse 29. Same chapter, 11th chapter of Romans. And in verse 29, Paul wrote, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Irrevocable. Now we hopefully all understand what that word means. It's not something that you go back on saying. It's irrevocable. You cannot revoke it. It is sure. It is a done deal, as we've said in the past. Right? It is irrevocable. No change of mind. And the context of this particular verse actually includes the concept of joy. So it's an irrevocable call, an irrevocable gift that are given with joy. It's what the context in the Greek is really saying. It's not a grudging irrevocability. It's not a wishy-washy irrevocability. It is not an irrevocability of misgiving. No, it is an irrevocability of joy. God is joyful in saying, I'm going back. I'm looking forward to a relationship with you. I am all in with a relationship with you in Jesus Christ. Our Lord. Let's just continue reading in verse 30. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience. That's it. But Paul is now talking to Gentiles. This is you, Gentiles, were once disobedient to God, now received mercy as a result of the Jews' disobedience. So, verse 31, they, the Jews, too, have now become disobedient in order that they, too, may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you, the Gentiles. So, Paul is creating a certain symbiotic connection here between Jew and Gentile in Jesus Christ. He's saying, look, we impact each other. We are for each other. That's how God intended it in Christ. We help each other. God's mercy is such that it is available to each other. In fact, as a result of that mercy that is expressed in Jesus, we are one in the receipt of God's gifts and God's call and God's mercy. We share in the same mercy as we help and support each other. That's the implication here. So in verse 32, for God, Paul concludes, has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. So what this is saying, friends, is that yes, Jew and Gentile, we both what? Slide. We both mouth off. We both curse. We both get into big mercies. We both disappoint. We both get discouraged and depressed. We both hurt ourselves and those around us. And Paul is saying, yeah, all of that happens, and yet God shows mercy on us all, whether Jew or Gentile. God's mercy triumphs in the face of our disobedience. Not because of us, obviously, but because of who? Because of Jesus. God's mercy triumphs. God's gifts are irrevocable. And we are individuals in community, called and immersed together in Jesus and his mercy. God understands and makes room for our disobedience to be covered in the mercy of his Son. Amen. That's, to me, a beautiful, beautiful message. It's a message of hope to me. It's a message of acceptance from God, not rejection. It's a message of the value God places on us as a result of his love for us, the worth that he places on us as a result of his love for us that is manifested and abundantly expressed in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so verses 32 to 39 reminds us, that is Romans 8. Now I'm going to go there very briefly. Reminds us of this irrevocable nature of God's love towards us. And we read this a couple of Sundays ago, I suppose. But in Romans 8, Paul had assured the church at Rome about this in the previous chapters. In Romans 8, And this assurance is for all of us. In fact, I dare say it's an assurance not just for Christians, but for all of humanity to understand where God is coming from. That when God places his love on you, it has not changed. God is not wishy-washy. God is not unstable. God is faithful. And so in Romans 8, let's remind ourselves about what Paul says about that. The irrevocable nature of the love of God. In verse, Romans chapter 8 and in verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with that same son, Jesus, graciously give us all things? Paul asks. Verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? So we will make mistakes, but he's saying those charges of mistakes will not stand. Why? Because it is God who justifies. And to justify is to make right. God makes right. It is God who makes right. Verse 34, who then is the one who condemns? And then he answers his own question again, no one. No one. Because God does not seek to condemn us. It is Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, who is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. In other words, Paul is saying, if there's anyone who has a right to condemn, it is Jesus. However, Jesus is not condemning, rather he's what? Interceding on our behalf. He's not holding our sins against us. he pleads on our behalf, our advocate. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's the quintessential question, isn't it? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or COVID-19 virus? Can anything, Paul is asking, separate us from the love of Christ? And then he answers his own question. He says, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. In other words, Christians are not immune to trouble. Christians are not immune to weaknesses. Christians are not immune to discouragement. Christians are not immune to feeling depressed. Christians are not immune to feeling they are worthless. Christians are not immune from feeling that they do not measure up, that they are flaming out, that they are messing up. Christians are not immune. He says, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Another way of understanding this is we are no match for the problems that we face, including death. That's what Paul is saying. And then he comes back and says, even in the face of this, verse 37, no, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. How? Not by our own efforts. Not by our own willpower, not by our own intelligence, not by our own ideologies, not by our own cleverness. No, but he says we are conquerors. How? Through him who loved us. And then he concludes the last two verses powerfully by saying, for I am convinced that neither death nor life. And then when you talk about death and life and everything else in between, he says none of those can separate us from the love that God has for us in Jesus Christ. He says neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I say amen to that, brothers and sisters in Christ. That is what I mean when I say the answer to the question, does God reject you, is simply no, never. So far as God is concerned, it is a done deal. He loves you, he loves me, he loves us, and he has proved that love in the giving of his son, Paul tells us in Romans 8. And through Jesus, we can have all things. So now the question is, God's unchangeable, immovable love for us in Jesus is there. Does God reject you? No, never. So question, would you trust God's nature and word, or would you rely on your own self, your feelings, your doubts, and those of others? Would you trust God's love and promise to you in Jesus, which are unshakable and irrevocable, or would you trust yourself and others? I hope that you trust God's love and God's promise to you in Jesus, which are irrevocable. If you're having doubts, that's okay. We just read about that. We just talked about that. That's human. It's normal and natural for us to have doubts sometimes. But those doubts are supposed to send us to who? Not to ourselves, but to God in Christ Jesus. Send us to Jesus. Go to Jesus with your doubts, friends. Go to Jesus with your issues. Go to Jesus with your struggles, with your challenges. Reach out to him. And if you need help, reach out to us, and we will walk this journey together with you. You don't have to do life alone, and we don't want to do life alone either. God is there for you and not against you. Reaching out to us or other believers for support is God's intention for your life and for my life. Let us do that and not do life alone. Here's my prayer. Lord, help that person who is struggling to trust you and accept you and accept the free gift that you give, the free gift of life, which is in Jesus for us. Help that person to understand and accept that you will never leave them nor forsake them, and to be motivated by your love to share as they come to understand it, this incredibly good news and hope with others to your honor and to your glory. Amen. I look forward to seeing you next time as we journey together to know Jesus and to make him known and to share his love and hope with a world that desperately needs it. We will see you next time as we conclude this message with a worship song from the worship praise team of Grace Communion Richardson. See you next time.
What fortune lies beyond the stars, those dazzling lights too fast to climb. I got so high to fall so far, but from heaven's love swept low, my heart beating, my soul breathing, I found.
Spirit soaring,
I want to invite you to a Zoom discussion after this message. The ID is on the screen. If you need to call using the phone number is on your screen as well. If you are watching on Facebook, the link that you can click on to join Zoom is in the description. If you are watching from our website, the link is on top of the video. I look forward to meeting you on Zoom for discussion and for fellowship. God bless.